DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hi, I'm Shauna Meyerson with the Yoga of War podcast, here today with Druze leader and former Knesset member, Ayub Kara. If you appreciate and find value in these important discussions, please consider supporting the show. Your donations ensure I can continue to bring you such amazing and esteemed guests. Details are pinned in the comments below. On July 15th, rampaging Bedouins and Syrian forces invaded the Syrian Druze village of Suwaida and massacred thousands of people, torturing, raping, and kidnapping hundreds more in a vicious and barbaric terrorist raid disturbingly reminiscent of October 7th. With fewer than a million Druze in the entire world, most of them concentrated in Syria, Israel, and Lebanon, and some in Jordan, this was a devastating tragedy of unimaginable proportions. A unique characteristic of the Druze people is their fierce loyalty to and respect for whatever society they live in. In Israel, they are honored as perhaps the single most loyal minority, with 80% serving in the IDF and defending their nation. And the Druze also have an unparalleled unity among themselves. The Druze in Israel don't just consider those in Syria to be family, they consider them to be brothers and sisters. Over 1,000 Israeli Druze stormed Syria that day to defend their brethren, and the IDF was the only military on earth to step in and help. You see, the Druze and the Jews do more than just rhyme. When it comes to the war on terror, they stand as one unbreakable pillar. I'm honored today to be joined live in Israel with Israeli Druze leader Ayub Kara to help us understand the tiny Druze nation and how we can all step up to help defend them. Ayub Kara is a Druze Israeli politician and former Likud Knesset member, known for his strong Zionist stance and regional diplomacy. A native Israeli, he served as a reserve major in the IDF and holds degrees in law and public policy. Kara served 4 Knesset terms and held key roles, including Minister of Communications and Deputy Minister for Development of the Negev and Galilee. A loyal supporter of Israel, Kara promoted ties with Arab neighbors and led humanitarian initiatives with Syria and Lebanon. Since leaving politics, he heads the Economic Peace Center and serves on the advisory board of the Dorone Aerospace, remaining active in diplomacy and public policy. Ayub, thank you so much for joining me today. It's a tremendous honor to be here with you.
Welcome, welcome.
I'll be starting talking a little bit about you and about the Druze community, and then we'll get into what happened in Syria, because it's been just such a tragedy that's been so underreported in the world. So to start off the conversation today, very few people outside of the Middle East, believe it or not, are even familiar with the Druze religion. So I was wondering if we could start with you telling us a bit about Druze history, about some of your beliefs, and also just about your people, like your traditions, and a little bit about the community.
First of all, people did not know the Druze nation was part from Bnei Israel, that means part from the Israeli public, before 3,700 years ago. And they are in the, they have, the prophet is the husband of Tzipora, father of Tzipora, Yitro. Yitro is very respected person, very respected person in the Bible. Mm-hmm. He has only the one, they have part from in the Bible, especially part, Parasha, Parashat Yitro. It's a very important position in the Bible for Yitro. Yitro is very, very clever and smart guy, was beside Paro. Paro threw him from Egypt, and he came to Midian. Midian is in this area from Egypt. And when Moses became problem in Egypt, they want to kill them. The regime, I mean, this time, he far away and come to be participate from the area of Yitro. And he know his wife, Tzipora, and they married. And cause that the Druze and the Jewish is going together from this time to this time.
When was the Druze religion founded? So you take him as your prophet, but is that when the Druze religion began? Or did the Druze religion become later but adopt that as their prophet?
No. You know, the culture in the Middle East especially, I mean, all the minorities, liars. To exist, they have to liars. So the Druze say that we become before 1,000 years ago, but if you believe with Yitro, and Yitro was before 3,000,
right,
7 years ago with Moses. That means you was part from the Israeli public, the Jewish public. So they are in the Jewish public till the Second Temple. They save and defense Harabait in this time. And before 2,000 years ago, they become alone as a Shevet Levi. And Shevet Levi is become the Druze nation. The Druze nation be afraid from the extremism round, so they change and make their life could exist in the Middle East. And because that, some people think that we are Muslims, we are, in all the history here, mm-hmm, after the Islam become so big, mm-hmm, all the other minorities, they exist, they liar for to exist. So they change, they call to everyone that in this area, call it Arab. Why they call it Arab? Including Jewish, including, mm-hmm, Christian, mm-hmm, including Druze, including Kurdish, including...
Uh-huh.
Why? Because they are not need any pushing from the extremism. Because they found solution to exist.
Okay.
The Jewish also. Yeah. And the Christian, they going like Arab. They're putting their heads.
Yes.
The same things, you know?
So, considering that Tzipora is from the Old Testament, from the Torah, is the Torah part of your liturgy? Do the Druze use the Torah?
No. They are parts, many things, the same prophets, the same, but they, you know, change. You must know, we're talking about 2,000 years that,
yeah,
people was in different situation.
Sure.
How they could exist in this extremism? If we have here, look about what going on now here in the, that you have power, you have, you know, everything. How you could exist if you not change your life, everything. They kill you.
Yeah.
You must understand.
Hold on one second, because the screen is frozen. Dan, I need you to do me a favor. Go in the other room and listen and tell me if at least the voice is with your phone and see if it's coming through. Unfortunately, I'm afraid the Wi-Fi might not be working. Just look it up on YouTube. I'm sorry. So that's very, very interesting. And again, like, this is information that nobody knows. I was under the impression, because I have a friend who's Druze in Las Vegas, and she said that the Druze were a, not Muslim, but were a splinter of Islam, that they left Islam.
No, this is for outside.
Okay.
You must understand that you have two behavior for the Druze, inside, outside. The
true,
you must don't know the truth. It's not popular to say in the Middle East that you is your past Jewish.
Right.
No one wants to say it.
Right.
They kill you if they know you're outside the Islam now.
It's a little, the way that I understand it, it's a little bit Darwinian. Meaning, wherever you are,
you make the right condition to exist.
Yeah, interesting. It's very interesting. So I want to mostly talk about Syria. So I want to talk about other things. So let's talk about you a little bit and your relationship to Israel. So you've served in the Knesset. You've been in the IDF. You were born here. Can you tell me a little bit about your personal history in Israel?
First of all, my grandfather, he was the only Druze before the independence of Israel that was part from the government of the Jewish, the GNF. The GNF was the government of Israel before 1948. So my grandfather was in this organization and he helped the Jewish here to save the land and the houses, everything that the real estate of the Jewish that they buy it from the Arab here. And I come from this family.
Yeah.
My grandfather helped the Jewish in the genocide in 1940, something like that. Before that also, they far away to Israel from Europe. So my grandfather was the address for that. After that, my father born and he voluntarily served in the IDF.
And voluntary.
Yeah, voluntary.
Now the Druze have to serve, is that correct?
Now we have, not now. From 1956 till now, they have. The law is no support and give the rights for the Jewish to be participate from the army of Israel, and they are service in all the arms of the IDF.
Okay.
And after that I'm born, and I study in Jewish school, and I serve the army, and I become officer in the army. And but in 85 in Lebanon, killing my brother, he killing there. And I'm injured, and other brother, we are three. One killing, the other, we two injuries. I'm very difficult. Me and the other brother become okay. But I'm, in process that's healthy, that he crossed. We know that he one day passed away. So after a few years, he passed away. So I have two brothers that killing in the IDF, and me, I am injured.
Yeah.
And cause that I lose my parents, my father and mother, in this case, and. I am study after that. I've left the army because I want to be near my parents, and I'm study lawyer, and I'm successful, and I'm running to the parliament in 1999, and I elected to the Knesset of Israel. I'm win eight election in the Likud party, and I win, and I become 5 times in the Knesset, including I'm in different positions. The best one was the Minister of the State, and the other one is the Minister of the Communication and Cyber of Israel.
Amazing, truly amazing. I'm curious because from America, I understand Israeli politics as much as you can from America. Would it be typical, would you say, within the Jewish community to be in the Likud? Is that a popular party, the more right-leaning?
Look, the Likud become popular because the left side in Israel, they look about the Druze that is like the Arab, not different, long years. Including that we are serves the army. So because that, we come in as a young people, and we say we want to go with Begin, with Likud, because mm-hmm. give us respect for our service, like the Sfaradim, it's the same thing. So the first party that's put in their list from the Druze nation, representative the Druze, is the Likud. Before that, all the years was Druze with the Arab. The left side put the Druze with the Arab, including in the politics.
But there aren't many Arabs in Likud, are they?
Not.
No.
Okay. The Druze is the dominant there.
Yeah.
And they are the majority in what we call the minorities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Druze support the Likud more than any other party.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but sometimes they are angry, sometimes there are decisions or laws that differ, you know.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question. As I'm sure you know, there are a tremendous number of lies and libels that have really entrenched themselves in the world's perception of Israel as what they call an apartheid state. I would say that you sitting here and telling me your history automatically makes people understand that apartheid would mean that there are no minorities in the government, that there would be structured separation. You made it seems to very much the top echelons of multiple aspects of society. What do you say to people who are screaming in the streets across the world that Israel is an apartheid state?
One day, I'm outside, I'm not Jewish, I'm Druze from the Druze nation. One day I represent Israel in South Africa, and I'm come to meet the President Mibiki, and he attacks me that Israel is an apartheid state. he attacks me with all the ministers there, and they are not know that I am not Jewish. So
right.
I'm not something. So if I become the important minister in the Likud party, and if they are in the high level position, one position before the decision that Druze could be the leader of all the military of Israel, how they could be, they are Druze in the Arab area. They did not have half from us, half from the Druze of Israel positions, you know.
Yeah.
They are Arab, they say we are Arab, we are Muslim, they are not care about that. People in Lebanon and in Syria, they are nothing, including there are more than the Druze here, but our influence here and the positions, it's very popular. People like the Druze here because they are loyalty. Who is loyalty? He accept that Israel is democracy state, and he give all the rights for all the minorities here, not different, anything. I told you one thing.
Yeah.
The minorities have rights more than the Jewish here.
How so?
In anything, in the education, in social rights. They are not give any commitment to the state in anything. And they have the same or more also, more than the Jewish in different things.
The irony that you weren't in Germany or Brazil, but in South Africa, where apartheid actually existed, that they could say that to your face, it just shows that people don't understand that so much of what people think they hate about Israel are absolute lies.
I hope one day they are coming with a report for Syria, for Lebanon, to say how much is apartheid there. The, if Israel apartheid, it's how I could sitting now beside you and I say everything. I have everything I needed from the state of Israel. But near us in our border, there are Druze killing every day because they are Druze. They are not right. They're killing them because they are Alawim, they are Kurdish, they are... Where the South Africa? Why they are not coming here?
Because they're too busy dragging Israel into the International Court of Justice to prove that we are committing a genocide, to really care about facts. While you're talking about that, so I assume that you are very close with Druze in Syria, in Lebanon, and I know there's some in Jordan. What kinds of rights do they have there? What is a life like? Syria, of course, is a unique situation because they just had the government overthrown. But why don't we talk about, before we get into Syria today, what was life like for the Druze under Assad, which I'm going to swallow the jagged pill of saying was stable to an extent that at least we knew who the government was. Yeah. What was life like before Ajlani took over?
Look, in Arab area, people did not talk about that. There are different kind of states. The quality state is the Gulf state. They are in the middle, Egypt, Jordan, that is, they are control the road. They are, of course, they have a grammar for the public. But in Syria, in Lebanon, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in all these states, the killing people every day, hundreds, thousands, no one care, no one asks, no one say anything. This is some, if Israel injures one Palestinian, all the news around that, but they could killing thousands of people near our border, no one take care, no one. Look about what happened with the Druze nation and with the Alawim and the Kurdish in Syria. You could see that the news, the media, the Arab media, they are not talk about that.
Right.
They are not say anything about that. They make a genocide in Syria every week, every month with different nation. No one talk about that. They also did not send any helping there.
So believe it or not, in most, at least in America, there was almost zero media coverage. In fact, I got it from Israeli media. Mm-hmm. Can you explain to people, in whatever terms you're comfortable explaining, what happened on June 15th of last year and for approximately 5 days thereafter in Syria?
In what happened, the Druze was in the same direction, politician, I mean, with Julani. Not with Julani, they was in the opposition, let's say.
Okay.
People need to change Assad, that killing people and make genocide with different nations. So all the area, including Israel and Lebanon and Turkish, all of them want Assad lift his position, and he left. Who come in? For everyone help him. But the case that changed the regime in Syria, Israel, because Israel destroy Hezbollah and destroy Iran and destroy Assad also. Because why? Because Assad, Iran, and Hezbollah was together. So Israel was the case, but Israel outside. He didn't want to occupy, he didn't know. But he saw after the change of the regime that the going to be here and near our borders, extremism, fundamentalism organization. So he cared for that. So he destroyed everything that could help the terror, that could help the extremism. And but Israel, the Druze was in the same process to change the regime. But after they changed, they trying to come to control the area. They want the Druze lift the guns, and of course not fighting. And Israel, the Druze understand that if they lift the weapon, they kill all of them. So they catch the weapon. They are not give any chance for that they be with nothing, with no power, with nothing. So they did not lift. They killing not much Druze from the Druze nation, but they killing. They become crying from everywhere to stop the genocide, so they stop it. But after 2 months, they coming again, because I'm with much respect to Trump, that I'm so much love this president. He, beside them, there are advisors that is very interested, like Thomas Barak, that he is the represent the White House in Syria. This guy in business in all the Arab area, exactly in Qatar and everywhere. So Thomas Barak changed the mind of Trump to change the policy against the terror, against Julani, that he was part from ISIS, one of the important right. leaders in ISIS. So they changed the mind suddenly. They want mm-hmm. to talk with them. They want to make it white. They want to make it legitimate. So Thomas Barak, because the interest, because the business, he changed the policy against the terror. And Trump say, we want to make peace between Syria and... But you know, it's not go. It couldn't happen. Because why? Because these people in their mind, in their culture, they never could change. Why? Because this is, they're born with extremism, they're born with terror, they could change the clothes, you know, they could change the face, but at last, the mentality, is it?
Sure.
To killing who's not Muslim, or convert them to become Muslim. This is an issue. So, and what happened, Thomas Barak influenced Trump to change the policy. I'm very sorry. Now the sanction against Syria, they stop it. They give him legitimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they make everything, and they now help Syria. This is big mistake. I remember the same mistake was in Iraq with Saddam Hussein. In Afghanistan, in different decision that they take the American. The American did not know the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes they thinking that they are professional. But the interest of some people changing everything.
Yeah.
So if Thomas Barak continue to be in this area, that's mean we're going to another Quraysh agreement. What is mean Quraysh agreement? Is the same agreement that that Muhammad make with the Jewish before 400 years ago. He coming to the Jewish, make with them agreement that they going to live with peace, hormonally and everything, and after one day kill the Jewish. This is what the best agreement that they say something
mm-hmm.
and make another thing.
That's right.
And the other agreement is Oslo Agreement. Arafat say this is Quraysh Agreement again. And he say that we are not accept it is only exercise, this is something liar. Quraysh is liar. In the culture, in the Quran, sometimes to win, you could liar, he says. That's legitimate to be liars. So now is the third agreement Quraysh with Julani could be, and the American did not know, or they are interest more in flows, I don't know. But if they go to the next level of a peace agreement with Julani, that means we are in big problem for the future.
Well, it seems as if this is very similar to what's going on with the world wanting to give statehood to the Palestinians in response to terror and thinking that they're suddenly going to become some peace-loving people, which they've never been, as a reward for terror. But can you talk about, because people really don't know, what happened last month in Soweto?
People against the Druze Nation need to be, they want to support Israel. They believe that they are part discrete. Why? What I am starting, that they part from the Jewish. Mm-hmm. They believe that the Jewish is the right public, that they could live together and make everything together, mm-hmm. with no extremism and no apartheid, nothing. So again, the Druze, because the Druze say loudly and put the flag of Israel in Soweto.
Yes.
And they make the regime very angry from that, and for they need to occupy with power this area, because they with Israel. That's the case. And they want him to destroy them, so they come in, you know, the regime and fundamentalism organization, terror organization, coming with the regime and trying to occupy Soweto to stop them to be in connection with Israel. This is the case.
Okay, I was under the impression that it was because of some tribal conflict with the Bedouins that this began.
No, dear. No. This is the case. You could hear the liars of the media in Arabic.
Yeah.
So
tell me.
They found all the time solution and cases to understand what happened with the genocide against the Druze Nation. The truth is that this is genocide. They did not think that the Druze have to say loudly, "We need Israel." Yes, but what the problem with that? Israel commandment before the change of the regime in Damascus, they agree with America, with Turkish, with all the influences here, to go and to save the south of Syria, because it's close to our border, including that to help and to defense the Druze and the Kurdish. Mm-hmm. And they agree about that. Mm-hmm. But after the legitimacy that make Trump and Thomas Barak, they trying to change what they agree, what mm-hmm. they have agreement about that. So they did not want the south of Syria be controlled with no terror, with no extremism. They want to control it as a regime, to make it how they want. How they want, that means terror be in the border of Israel.
How would you compare what happened in Soweto to what happened on October 7th?
And look, I was part with the Soweto, and I'm first time talk about that. They asked me if they could bring 20,000 soldiers from Sweden to help the IDF.
Wow.
And I told, I'm asking.
After October 7th,
I told, I give you, yes, scoop. I know
okay.
that. I told Minister Gallant, the defense minister, that you have option here. If you need, let me know. He said, we not need. But all the time they're asking me, and they come and also visit here and asking how we could help. They met different high-level position here, I mean from Sweden.
Yeah.
And discreet. No one know. I am do it. So this is the truth. But they are the feeling part from Israel. This is how they starting at the, from the beginning. And we waiting to new timing to be too close to Israel. We beginning our relationship there. And when Assad fall down, they say we want to be in the side of Israel. We not want to be in the side of Jolani. This is make angry all the area. But the truth is that if not, they're killing the Druze. They make genocide. Israel need the Druze there, not apart from Israel, but they need them not and help him because this is give solution. They give solution for our defense in the what we call north east of Israel.
So when you say that they want to be on the side of Israel, are you talking about the physical border of the Golan Heights, or do you just mean they want to stay in Syria but also support Israel? So I read today that in Ceuta, the Druze are trying to move towards autonomy and creating their own administrative structure. What would that look like for the future of Druze in Syria?
Look, we the Druze, in, they are not have choice. If they stay in Syria, with and be part with the regime of Syria, that's timing that they're killing all the Druze there. They have two choice. One choice is to be part from Israel, to withdraw here. This is one that's not supporting Israel with that. The other is could be autonomy, that's of the Druze, that they civilian. They do everything like a state, but they are apart from Syria, and Israel defends them. That means they give solution for Israel to stop the terror far. If they, the terror come here, they couldn't come direct to our border. The Druze could fighting this terror. This is the other option. So this is more consensus right now in the Druze and in Israel to make it. And Israel support that.
And sorry, something I meant to mention a while ago and I didn't when you were talking about the fall of Syria, that very much people say that that came starting with Magdal Shams, with the massacre, or not really massacre, the murder of 12 children who were playing soccer in Magdal Shams. And what's interesting is that the Druze community said to Israel, either you fight back with Hezbollah, or we're going to do it ourselves. And we saw that again last month when this horrible, really massacre happened in Ceuta, that 1,000 Druze or more crossed the border into Syria to fight with next to the Druze. This was in addition to the IDF airstrikes that were to follow.
Look, the Druze in Israel and the Druze in Syria and the Druze everywhere, they maybe have sometimes conflict, but they support each other. Anyway, we support the Druze in Lebanon in the war 1982. If not, they destroyed them. We now trying to help the Sweden area. And of course, the Druze here, they are not accept anything that Israel not support the Sweden. Because first of all, Israel promised before 2 years, the Druze, that I was in these decisions, they agree with them that they going to be part from their defense, okay? And so this is very important for the Israel, for the Druze, that Israel commitment, that means he has to do it.
Mm-hmm.
No anything new, including if Thomas Barak changed the mind of Trump. It's not care for us.
Right.
This is the weather. So if not, I think the Druze from here, they found solution to take guns, to take weapon, and to cross the border to help their brothers and sisters. So what happened in this time, that was the genocide, they crossed the border. They want to kill, to fighting with them. Because
right.
Israel, a little bit, was in flows of Thomas Barak and Trump. They asked them to stop, help the Druze. Give, they want that Gulani occupied the Druze area. And this is, was very, very sensitive. The Druze very loyalty to Israel. In the same time, they are loyalty also to the Druze on the other side. So they destroy the border and they going and for one day there. And after that, of course, the government say that he going to support the Druze, to continue support. And that's stop the violence. And now there are agreement that the Gulani did not take part from Sweden and did not come in to control Sweden. But you know, this is Arab. They no commitment, because what is commitment today, tomorrow could be different. Different culture, that you know.
Yes, and so, it's interesting that you're saying that. I did not know that, because the argument has been, or the talking point, that when the Syrian, or what's now called the Syrian army, went in, either they represented al-Julani or they were acting separate from him, meaning he didn't have control over them. So you're saying it's the latter, not the former, that they were acting independent of the Gulani government. Is that accurate?
Druze did not accept any process that they coming down the regime of Gulani. No way. So the agreement that they agree about it, that Gulani did not manage the area of the Druze. The area of the Druze manage it.
My question is, last month, when there were the terrible atrocities in Sueda, it seems they were committed by a combination of Bedouin and Syrian army forces. People have been asking, were the Syrian army forces there at the command of Gulani or against his wishes?
We don't know. It's not, we're not,
okay.
We don't. I don't know. I think no one know what is the truth, because there are people say that Gulani control also the Bedouin and the organization there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are another people say that Gulani did not control. I don't know who is it. From our side, we are not care. We need not become another genocide in this area. That's
okay.
What's important. If they are, I mean, the regime or the organization from of the terror and other, if they are there, that means warm there.
Do me a favor. people are overusing the word genocide these days to talk about things that aren't genocide and classify them as genocide. So you've used the word genocide many times. Can you explain what an actual genocide looks like and why that word applies to what has happened in Syria, in Ceuta?
Look, in 7 October 23 was genocide. You could find another word better. No, this is the right road, right? And what happened in Ceuta is the same thing, about 2,000 people killing in 1-2 days.
Yes.
They killed them and other thousands injuries, and till now they are not found. Hundreds of girls and sons and children and old men and other, the same things what happened in the south of Israel with the 7th of October. It's happened the same thing with the Druze nation. That means the terror is the same terror, including in this, in Ceuta, after they found different document, they know that Hamas was part in this genocide. Hamas was there.
Hamas in Syria?
Yeah.
Interesting. How do they know that?
They know. There are protocols and they talking about that everywhere last week. They found names and the list who fighting there, and they make investigation, and they absolutely know that Hamas sent. This is Hamas of Syria, but they are the same. You know, in the past Hamas was in Syria.
Yeah.
It's basic. So they are continue their part from Hamas.
The Hamas charter was created to destroy the Jewish state. Do they also, by just their daily charter and values and aims, do they also target Druze specifically? Or why would they be involved in Ceuta against the Druze? Why do they care about the Druze?
Nothing different between Jewish, Druze, Christian, Kurdish, Ashur, you know, there are a lot of minorities. What different? What they're looking about who is not, including Sunni, you know, they are Sunni. If you are Sunni and not extremism, you are the same in the list of the Druze and Jewish and other.
How big is Hamas in that area? How did they get there?
It's not power or not. You know, the problem, people did not know the motivation of this organization is that they are not care to killing, because the life is not important. Make it very powerful. If you...
Yeah.
This is more power, more you could afraid from that, more than tanks and more than plane also. Why? Because someone say, I am want to go to next world. It's fanatism, because no one come back from this world and say he is right. But that is, he say, not important for me to kill him. This is the problem, because about what you could talk with them. This is the case that also we found we have a problem in Gaza, because they are not want to compromise in anything. The only game is the same courage and taqiyya that's in the Quran, that's the liars and the left, the west side, the American did not understand it. I never forget Mrs. Clinton that want to make all the Muslim state democracy with the Arabian Spring, with the Arabian Spring.
Right.
I never forget how big mistake they do.
Yeah, it's in fact, just a couple days ago, my friend Andrew Fox and I were discussing on our other podcast about this memorandum of understanding that's been signed between the UK and the Palestinian Authority, I guess, and it just seems to suppose that all you have to do is like wave a magic wand and all of a sudden, boom, a terrorist becomes a democracy, a terrorist state becomes a democracy, and it's the hubris of the West that that believes that our values are shared as the values of radical Islam, and it just we don't we value life and they value death, and that's a fight that's really hard to win, if not impossible.
Dear, this is the big problem. People did not, the West side, the culture, is they are not understand that is the humanity is different from part area to other.
Yes.
They are not like you. You think they are the same. They are not like you. They think in different. It is culture. If you change, it's different culture. It's mean if you thinking that the value life is the important thing in everywhere, but they thinking the value death is the important thing. So how you could go together? How you could understand it? And they are liars. This is part of the culture here. The American did not understand it. They when they talking about with someone, they thinking that the same culture, it's like us.
Yeah.
It's humanity, the same humanity. So they are not understand the Middle East is different and the East different. This is different culture. The mind is not the same.
I agree. I'm laughing a little bit, and no one could tell because the camera froze when we started, and we've had no camera this whole show, unfortunately. But what's interesting to me is that you say a lot Americans. I see the problems of the Western world and Western naivete about radical Islam as being even worse in Europe and in South Africa and in Australia. I'm wondering if when you say Americans, you mean the entire West, or do you specifically mean the
American?
When I say
American, I mean all the West side.
Okay.
Because America is the dominant. But yes. I mean it's the UK, it's the France,
got it.
It's everywhere.
We're so, all the Americans.
Yes.
But
The problem is that they are, I like this culture. I'm part from this culture. I believe with this culture. But you, when you go to other culture, and you want to change or make something happen different, you must know not all of them like that. I'm sure that more than 90%, they are not need this Islam brother, the politician Islam, they call it here. They are not wanted.
90.
All the leaders, they are not wanted. But they are afraid from them. They are not saying the truth also, because they are afraid from that. When I'm sitting with leaders, with Netanyahu, I mean Islam, big leader, they say, when you killing Hamas? I say to them, why you not do it? And you better, because I'm sensitive, I'm Muslim.
So,
you understand?
I understand.
So if you say outside what you hear, what he talk, you
right.
think he's an other side. But the truth is it, they're afraid from the extremism, but they are not say it outside. They say nothing. They are pathetic about Hamas. They are not say any words if you see in the
right.
Arab media. Only Israel, if you hear the
right.
media, only Israel in this world.
Right. Let me ask. I'm shocked to hear that you say that 90% do not support the radical Islamic governments, because every
not because they love Israel.
No,
I
understand.
The 90% because they're afraid from. If you ask the Egyptian, why you don't give state, you was till 1967, this you are the regime in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Why you did not give him state? He didn't know what to answer you. They are not want to hear it. I asked Erdogan in one interview, you was here 600 years. Why you don't give the Palestinian state? No one answering.
Well, he didn't answer, or he made up an answer?
No, they are not answering. They're not want to hear the truth.
Right.
Because the one thing is a Jewish, we are Islam, we are against Israel. This is the case.
Right. So did you have a personal role, you as a person, in helping to convince Israel to either go into Lebanon after Magdal Shams and or go into Ceuta, into Syria, and make the air attacks in order to defend the Druze? Was this a debate, or did Israel sort of say, listen, the Druze have been so loyal to us, and this is a fight we need to fight? Because Magdal Shams, I think, is when the entire war, every single dynamic changed. But I do remember that the Druze sort of threatened Israel and said, if you don't do it, we're going to. Did you have any influence in those decisions to go into, to complete the Hezbollah mission and also to go into Syria last month?
Look, you must understand, people are afraid from the regimes. It's different. They in Syria and Lebanon, they are not go to the court. They're killing you if you say something against Hezbollah, against Hamas. People must understand what's going here. This is not America. They are not Israel. They are not Europe. If you say against Hamas something tomorrow morning, you are in the other world. People did not know. If you ask the American who's supporting Gaza, he did not understand what I'm saying.
Right.
So, because that you could found in also Arab, Israeli and Arab, like Majdal Shams. They're afraid maybe one day they may be again down the regime of the Arab, and they have to be careful not to say anything against them. Mm-hmm. The same thing in Lebanon. You know, when we left Lebanon in 2000, I was against that. I'm only the one was against that because I told them the Hezbollah was so little, but I'm looking far away about what happened. And I told Netanyahu and Barak and all of the leaders here that if you left Lebanon fast, you found your Hezbollah development and become the dominant there. The same thing, I was against the withdrawal from Gaza. I'm only the one.
Okay.
Because I not believe with withdrawals, because the problem...
What do you mean you're the only one?
I'm only the one in the government, I'm how the Rabbi Ovadia says, I am the new Yitro. Why? Because I am only the one who was right. I told them, don't lift Gaza.
And how do you feel now?
I feel okay, but I am very, very angry from all the leaders. I don't want to know. I don't want to talk about names that support, and they are in the government now. And I told them, do not support this withdrawal with Sharon. All of them support. I'm only the one not support that. And I'm understand if you lift areas and lands, that means they win. That's what they are not thinking that you want to make control or defense the area. They're thinking that you're afraid from them and you left and far away from the extremism. Mm-hmm. And extremism win. That's what they translate in Lebanon. That's what they translate in Gaza. I was not part from this. I'm only the one was against.
Right. Yeah, keep talking. Sorry, yeah.
So.
Go on.
So the.
Sorry. Go on. Sorry, I'm having a problem with my camera. Please go on.
So. Now, if you ask me, in Syria, most of the citizens against Jolani, against the extremism, people want to live. But no one could say, I am with Israel. The one nation loudly say it, we need Israel, is the Druze. The one thing that Israel have to do is to defense the Druze. No one, no Trump, no Thomas Barak, no one, we agree with them. We have policy, we know the Middle East better, we want to stay here. They could kill us here. We here, and we think in the right way, and I'm sure Israel think the same thing what I'm thinking. They want to defend the Druze, but they are interested. In America, in the regime, they want to change this policy of Israel. It's not easy, because they're pushing Israel every day to change this policy. They're thinking that Jolani, what that was before 2 months, apart from ISIS, now he is the baby of Trump, you know?
Yes. So there's a big push, actually, to try to get Syria into the Abraham Accords. Now, I don't know if that's feasible, and I'm going to ask if you think that's feasible, but if it did, what would it mean for the Druze? Would the Druze, will the Druze wind up one day, do you think, in Israeli Golan Heights? Like, what is the future of the Druze, particularly if there's some sort of normalization somehow between Israel and Syria?
Look, I think that Israel understand very well that she is not have choice. He has to cooperate with the Druze because the interest is together. If not, they found in the Golan Heights the extremism there and the terror there. Mm-hmm. So to stop it, they have to make a plan. The plan of Israel, no way. I know the system of the security of Israel. All of them. Part from the policy that I'm saying, that we have to defend the Druze, and the Druze fighting the terror in the other side. This is what going to be. We are not have alternative. We are not, including if we go to Abraham Accord agreement. Maybe we happen something that change or. Or give chance for Abraham Accord, something that I not believe with that.
Yeah.
Including that I am the front of Abraham Accord agreement. I am more than anyone work with Abraham Accord agreement. I am on the first minister believe with that. I am the first minister land in Dubai.
Wow.
Yes, and of course I believe with that more than anyone. But in this case, in Syria, I'm not sure that is a different culture from the Gulf state. The Abraham Accord agreement is agreements that's good for the Gulf state. They are not good working here. The lot of nations, the extremism, in the Gulf state, in the same nation, they are same people. They're looking about the future, about value life. It's different, absolutely. So who is want to make Syria part from Abraham Accord? I'm not sure that this is working. And they found their selves in big mistake like Afghanistan, like Iraq, like everywhere. This is part another part of Arab, different culture of Arab. The Arab is not one culture, it's different. Mm-hmm. This is very important. This is what I'm talking about, that is different from areas to other. We could make Abraham Accord agreement in north of Africa. It could happen. Mm-hmm. We could do it. We have two today agreements with Marrakesh and Egypt. We could continue to the others, maybe Algeria, but the other, it's also possible. Also Algeria, that's against us, because when you are, you talking with the same nation is different than you talking about a lot of nation in the same place.
Yeah. So we're going to start wrapping up because it's been more than an hour and you've been very generous. But what do you see as the future of this region? I mean, so I these days, I mean, everything is up in the air. But where, what do you see as the future? And what do you see as the future for the Druze in the entire Middle East?
I think if we finish in good the situation, if we the situation in Gaza could finish it, and Israel be looking positive, I think in other areas Israel looking more positive also, because if everyone know that Israel destroy Hezbollah, that is very important, including that he say today, I don't want to lift the guns and other, you know, the weapon. But I trust no way he know that the majority in Lebanon, they are not needing. And they talking with Israel every day. And Israel did not give any chance for that Hezbollah say that Israel occupied, Israel fighting Lebanon. Israel did not want to fight Lebanon. Israel did not want to occupy Lebanon. This is a sentence for to make them popular and against Israel. So in Lebanon, I think they're going to be better, the between Israel and Lebanon. In Syria, I think we going, if I'm looking, maybe Julani, something happened to them, because I think the most of the fundamentalism organization did not accept his policy, so they maybe agree about our agreement with Israel, but fast they're killing them like Sadat, because you know this is the issue. But if after the agreement, everything continue, I'm sure that we going to be better with Syria than what was in the past.
We meaning Israel. We meaning
with
the
Israel.
Truth.
With Israel.
So my question is, if
it's good for Israel, that means good with the Druze.
Okay.
You understand? That's me.
I do understand. Yeah, but
Israel, I sure that he did not leave the Druze alone.
If there's normalization between Syria and Israel, will Israel be able to intervene if there's another massacre
Israel,
of
that,
the Druze?
The first term of Israel to occupy any process with Julani is the Druze and the Kurd and also the Alawi. That is more, this is something that 30-40% from the citizen of Syria. So they save all these minorities, including the Christian and the other nation. And no way that Israel going to any process with Julani if this nation, the minorities nation, they are not accept our process. No way. So because every day trying Julani to change the policy, his foreign minister go here, there, you know. But I'm sure they are not have choice. Julani, if he did not go to the positive process, he fall fast because he didn't have where to going. They are not have in Syria. They are no food. They are not hospitals. They are not.
Now, when you say in Syria, are you talking about the Druze in Soweto, or are you talking about the whole country of Syria?
First of all, I talk about all the country.
Okay.
And the other thing, Druze. Druze, no way after what happened to stay down Julani.
Mm-hmm.
They could live together, that in one room there for the Druze, all the house of Julani, but they could. He have to give house room for mm-hmm. every minority, and he has the house. You understand?
Yes.
This is the example that I'm saying, and they could working. What a problem? What you need them?
Okay. So okay, that sounds it sounds like a relatively positive outlook. Once things stabilize, that you don't fear for the future of the Druze community. In Syria, like the future, like so I guess what I'm really getting at is
how they could the future with Julani and Druze. You want to kill him? How we?
That's what. That's what I'm trying to understand. So you said they would give them a room. That's different from giving them a slit on their throat.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Do you? So what I'm
but
saying.
But maybe it could change, you know, in Syria and history. All the time changing
yes.
leaders. So that's mean what is good, all the Syrian against them, including the Sunni. But they have the guns and they have the legitimacy from Turkish and from Egypt, from Saudi. This is not easy to fight them. But the truth is it, that if I'm heard leaders, they're against the Islam, brother. They're against the Islamization, all
yeah.
of them. But when you talk about if they support Sunni leader or Alawi leader like Assad, of course the Sunni leader, they support him anyway, because this is what the value thing that they have.
Okay. I have so many questions about Syria, but do you think most Syrian Druze would rather be Israeli? They're flying an Israeli flag. Is it because they want Israel to save them or they want Israel to integrate them? I know many are here in hospitals and Israel has also set up field hospitals. It sounds like the ceasefire that was called last week, I'm talking about in Soweta, has not held, and that there's a blockade on food and aid that Israel has been providing for them. That it sounds to me like right now Israel is not only protecting but actually keeping the Druze afloat, alive. Is this accurate?
I don't know. We have a lot of things to finish it. I am the best person that know everything, because I'm close to all the leaders there. I'm Israeli and close to leaders here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I connect leaders from here and there. I am mm-hmm. myself. So I know the truth more than anyone, because they
okay.
talk, every
yeah.
side talk to me the truth. Is it true? So it's not easy. I think no way the Israeli left Sweden, and no the Sweden no way left Israel. This is
okay.
It's finished. This is the truth. And but we have to find a little bit. I think Thomas Barak, they're going to send him home. If they send home Thomas Barak, I think is everything changed back positive. And I think more than that Israel more need to the Druze that the Druze need them. Because if this regime continue to be in Damascus,
mm-hmm.
that mean if he has power, he quick make war with Israel. But the good thing that's happened, Israel destroy all the basic of the army of Syria.
Yeah.
This is good thing that we
yes.
do. And they understand that they are not have power, because that they agree about everything we needed, including peace and including Abraham Accord. But you know, this is something not for a long time, because they need power. They need to make the regime more control.
Okay, I'm going to ask just two quick last questions. And you come across as a very, very, very proud Israeli. I know you consider yourself a Zionist, yes. Would you call yourself an Israeli first or a Druze first?
Myself, I am Israeli first. I don't care about anything religious. But I'm fighting for every nation in the Middle East that I think they are trying to destroy them. I do it in the past with ISIS. I remember that all the Druze was in with Assad regime, and I was against Assad, and I fighting Assad because he killing the opposition long time from 2011 till he left. So I was against them all the time. And the Druze coming to my side, I'm only the one, the one in Israel fighting against destroy the opposition in Syria. I'm attacks Russia because Russia was influenced so much in this time, and I'm travel to Russia to talk with the regime there. So I'm feeling Israeli more than any Israeli, more Jewish than any Jewish. let us say one day I was in Dubai, first minister in the Gulf state, and I come in sitting with the prime minister, El Maktoum, and he say to me, "You are Jewish Syrian Arab." I'm laughing, and I told him, "No, Your Excellency, I am Arab." He thinks that I lie. So I say again, "Maybe you are Jewish Lebanon Arab." So I told him, no, I am, my mother language is Arab, but there was beside me all the Israeli delegation in America. But I told you, I am more Israeli than all the Jewish here. This is what I am. I was an officer in the Army of Israel. My brother killing to defend Israel. He didn't understand. This is the first time that somebody and some person, some leader, he didn't understand how I am in high position.
Yeah.
Because all the propaganda that against Israel was that the minorities here and the Israeli here, apartheid, you know?
Right.
This is something I couldn't accept it. I'm fighting with that everywhere.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Okay, well, I'm amazed. I have to ask one last question. I'm really amazed to meet the Jewish guy who's more Jewish than the Jews. What do the words Am Yisrael Chai mean to you?
I like it. I like this sentence, this song. That's mean for me forever. Till the Messiah come in here.
Wow. I it was interesting. So you have the Tanakh here. Do you study Torah?
I know. I am studying in Jewish school. I'm not studying no Druze school. I'm not Arab school. I'm studying my education Jewish. Absolutely.
And why was that? Huh? I didn't even ask you why. Why? Why did you?
Why come in? I do not listen to your daughter. I talk with them about my grandfather. That's why.
Yeah.
I don't know what before, but before the independence of Israel, my grandfather was part from GNF. He was.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
Yeah, but so I'm come from Zionist house, and from not only. After the independence of Israel, the independence of Israel. So my father also voluntarily serves in the war of the independence war, you know. We are part from what happened to Am Israel.
Yeah.
This is, you don't found it so in other families or, houses, you know.
Yeah. Interesting. You did say that history, but I didn't make the connection that even with your three generations of history as fighting for and defending the Jewish state and being involved, that would necessarily preclude going to a Druze school versus a Jewish school. So you're just so deeply immersed in the culture. It's very, very interesting.
You know, I think myself, not everyone, I have to be clear with you. I feel that I have to take Israel here and save them. And sometimes I feel that.
Well, I thank you for that. And also, I thank you so much for joining me for this conversation and inviting me into your daughter's lovely home. And I pray for the best. I pray for the best for this nation. I pray for the best for the Druze nation. And I pray for the best for the Middle East. And thank you for everything that you're doing to help to promote peace in the region. Because peace in the region will make tremendous strides
I do a lot for that. I believe with that. Most of my time around in the Arab area, I'm trying to bring, you know, I have in Dubai big center. I call it the Center Economic Peace. I have a brand that we call it Amarat Israel for Africa. We have brand that we call it Europe Israel. And we have another brand in New York. We're going to construct now one in Africa and one.
Wow.
And why? Because we need people cooperate economic together. This is make relationship better. So any company I bring to Dubai, to Abu Dhabi, to Ras Al Khaimah, to Umm Al Quwan, to all the area of the Gulf, I bring company from US, from Europe, mm-hmm. who need to open doors, who want to development there with his business, I bring him there as a lawyer and as a center.
Thank you for opening those doors. Thank you again for joining us. And I'm going to have to turn off the camera over there. Is there anything else that you would like to add before we finish?
No, I want you to know that Israel, in my opinion, is big fighting in it that they are not give the great results. I pray for God to give the power for people to close each to other, not to fighting each other. This is what we need. Before the 7th of October was the same situation, and people ask me how they finish. I told them going to come something, believe me, that's make the nation and the state together. And also now I'm pray that people understand the enemy is near our border, not here. People must understand to be together, to cross and to win this timing that's very dark. And I'm sure at last, from God, everything become okay, because He saved Am Israel.
I could not agree more. We need unity more than anything, and we also need peace. So, Am Yisrael Chai, and thank you again so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you everybody else for joining.